I like Christmas time. Get the trees all decorated. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus made a remark to his disciples. Jesus said unto this man, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's sort of what Christmas is all about. The truth and the life and Jesus. Most of my Christmas life, I felt a serious struggle over some of the traditions that have grown up around Christmas. I'm about to approach what has become an untouchable shrine of Christmas. Since I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior on November 5th, 1961, there is something that I have struggled with, and maybe some of you do this also, especially when it comes to children and Santa Claus. What does the church have to do with that jolly old fat man? What does the church have to do with that jolly old fat man? When Connie and I were in Scotland, we used the community center for all of our church services. We paid a fee for each use, and we were expected to help with the maintenance and the activities that went on in that community center. And the year, Christmas, we were over there, I was asked by the people in the community center if I would play Santa Claus. I had the build for it, okay? But folks, that was a big problem. It was. How was I supposed to respond when I was being asked to play the part of Santa Claus for the community center? It was actually one of the biggest events that took place every year in our community. I was to enter via a false fireplace and pass out Christmas presents to all of the children, and there would be many there. Some of whom was part of our children's program. But the missionary that I was replacing had done this for several years. He'd played Santa Claus. And here were Connie and I. What do you do in a situation like that? Because many of you have been in situations similar. The church had a testimony to maintain for the Lord. And most of the community would be there. Only a small part of the community was a part of our church. And most of the community were not Christians. England and Scotland are probably 20 years ahead of us in leaving the Lord. They're going away from Him. They have nothing to do with Him. Most of them do not believe He is truly existent. So, I had done some things to be a part. When a missionary goes into a community, the missionary needs to win the confidence of the community. And one of the things that I had done to win the confidence, I had joined the British Red Cross. And I was active full-time with the British Red Cross in addition to the ministry that was involved there. That was to win their confidence. So what could I do in a situation like this? Refusing to play Santa would have done severe damage to our relationship with the community as a church. How does a Christian respond to this kind of a situation? You know, the church is supposed to be relevant, and this is very relevant for all of us. Some of you have most likely been in similar situations. What does a Christian do about something that he or she has no control over? Compromise is not an option. When I started this message, I read verse 6 of John 14. Jesus had said some things about himself that were very important. Jesus is the way to a relationship with God. Jesus is pure truth. He cannot participate in a lie. Jesus is also the means of our having eternal life. Let me ask you one more question. At what age did you know there was no Santa Claus? At what age did you know there was no Santa Claus? Now, this is something that involves all of us as Christians. It involved you, it involved me, it involved everyone. And many of us start out as young couples, having our first children, and everybody's talking about Santa Claus. What do we do about this? What did you do? Because most of us are, I see some lighter hair or no hair in AB's case, and one of our visitors. What did you do? My wife and I, as a young couple, we took our children to the department store to see Santa Claus because that was the thing. As you mature, as you spend time with Christ, your philosophy changes. Your actions change as you become more mature in the Lord. And we're supposed to grow. We're told to grow in grace. And so as you grow in grace, you're going to change. Your beliefs are, and they're not going to necessarily change, but they're going to develop. And you're going to come to a point where you have certain convictions. Not just necessarily beliefs, but convictions. That there are things that you will not do. So, all of you, ask the question, when did you know there was not really a Santa Claus? Did you continue to pretend there was a Santa Claus? As kids, we did. Because that meant goodies. I remember my grandparents. My grandparents were not Christians. And Christmas was a big time for them. They made a big thing out of it. And Santa Claus and all of that. I was not a Christian when I was a child. It wasn't until November 5th, 1961, I became a Christian. But prior to that, I didn't have any real conviction. A person who is not a Christian doesn't necessarily have conviction. So, many people think, well, Santa Claus can't do harm to a child. How many children who know about Santa Claus don't know about Jesus Christ? I saw a young lady say, lots. And there are lots. More children don't know about Jesus Christ than know about Santa Claus. Most of us has probably not thought this out, this particular problem for ourselves. When friends or neighbors talk about Santa coming on Christmas Eve, some of us might be inclined to go along with their talk. If we say anything about Santa not being real, you would think we were Jack the Ripper. In order to answer this dilemma, we need to look at a couple of other scriptures. 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not the Father, but is of the world. Santa Claus is definitely part of the world and not a part of God. Now, we don't need to attack Santa Claus. We just need to talk about the truth. We could say something about how the church is celebrating the birth of Jesus with a candlelight service next Sunday night. Invite them to come. Many people feel uncomfortable about Santa Claus, and they know how much the world reveres him. It's a very controversial topic. As young parents, like I said, Connie and I took our kids to see Santa Claus. In later years, we would not have done this, but we did it. It was part of growing up. It was part of life. And for most of you, it's been the same way. Really. Did it do any harm? Not when you were given the truth. And when we were given the truth, we shared it with our sons. We're not thinking about the falsehood, pretending that Santa is real. I remember, like I said, how my grandparents made a big deal out of Christmas. They were part of the Unitarian Church. They did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not believe there was a place called hell. And I'm afraid they are probably both have learned different. So, what does a Christian do? How do you handle the situation like we had in Scotland, where I was asked to be Santa Claus? Well, I prayed about it. I thought about it. I agonized over it for a while. And then the Holy Spirit gave me a solution. I announced to every ministry that we were involved in that I was privileged to be asked to give out the gifts at Christmas time to the community children, and that I had been asked to pretend I was Santa Claus as I did it. Every ministry we were involved in, children's ministries, adult ministries, I let them all know that I was going to play Santa Claus for those who did not believe. I knew that Christmas was a time that we celebrate the birth of Christ, and that was really, there was no such person as Santa Claus. And so I also asked the community center that I might have an opportunity to invite all of the people to come to our services of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I made those announcements during that time as I was giving out the gifts and invited them to come. I told our people involved in the ministry that I would be their pastor before I could be called somebody like Santa Claus, and that I would be their pastor after I had played Santa Claus. It was just pretend for those children that had been taught about Santa Claus. Also, I requested the opportunity to tell everyone there that they were invited to come to our Christmas services where we celebrated the birth of God's Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many other traditions that the church can become involved in other than playing Santa Claus. Decorating for Christmas is one of them. We are not decorating for Santa. We are decorating to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and to make our church family attractive to the outside people, so they might come in and visit and learn about Jesus Christ. There are many organizations that are looking for volunteers this time of year. I have volunteered, Gabby and I, to ring bells for Salvation Army. And I thought I had all the arrangements made, but Diana checked her phone last night and found out that I've got things I've got to do yet. So, but We're going to be ringing over at the Northwoods Mall at the food court from 4 to 6 on Thursdays, okay? So just to help out. Salvation Army is a good group, good organization. They do a lot for people, and they promote the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said the same thing to each of his disciples. He said, follow me. If we look at the life of Jesus, he was constantly moving from place to place where he could minister to the people of that community. He would heal the sick, cause the lame to walk, even cause the blind to see. And you and I don't have that kind of power, but there are other things that we can do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ where we can serve. And those are the things we need to look for. Those are the things we need to find and the things we need not to talk about, but to do. There's an expression, talk is cheap, and it is. It's not until we get out there and mingle and interact with other people that we are becoming the ambassadors that the Lord wants us to be. He wants us as ambassadors for him. And an ambassador represents the person that he's representing by acting as best they can like him. People need to see us out helping in our communities. What's more important is that God needs to see us helping in our communities. Philippians 3:12-14 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What we've done in the past doesn't matter. What we do in the future can make all the difference in the world to one person, one soul. This is stepping outside of our comfort zone. It very well may be. You're like me, you might be a little shy. But God expects it. God's going to give us what we need to serve him. He's going to give us the boldness. He's going to give us the energy. And he's going to help us to accomplish what he has put us here for. It's also what we need to do to expose Jesus to the community around. The people in our community will not come to our church to see what we are doing. So we need to get out into our neighborhoods and let them see the Lord's love working through us to the people around us. While I was up in New Jersey, we were in a community of 147 churches. Called Collingswood Heights, New Jersey. 147 homes. It was an Italian community. Basically, when they had formed the community, Italian people had bought the homes. And they had Christmas tradition. They baked, they made fancy things, fancy cookies and things. And while we were there, the neighbors would bring my wife and I, living at the church in an apartment above the church, they would bring us cookies and cakes and all the special Italian things that people loved, and we could see them sharing them around the neighborhood. You and I need to start doing that. We need to make Christmas special by doing things for other people. How do you prove love? Love is giving. Love is giving. So let's get out there and let's give some love, the love of God that we have been given. Let's give it to our community. Let's give it to our neighbor. The society that we live in, most of them don't know who lives across the street or next door. And you know what? Most of them don't want to know. They have their own life. Our society is changing. When you and I were younger, back in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, people were concerned for the people around. They had a concern, and they looked out for each other. And they showed their love for one another by doing things, giving them cookies at Christmas time. Special thing. And you and I need to do the same, if it is all possible. What we're trying to do is show forth the love of God. We're trying to show that to our community, to our neighbors. And since they won't come to us, we're going to have to be the ones to go to them. It's what this church building, what is in this church building comprises our church. And that's you people. It's not the building. It's you people. The building can't go anywhere. The building can't bake cookies. But you can. And there are things that we all can do to make this a very special Christmas, where we surprise people, where we love people around us. I would get very excited if I knew that some of our people were volunteering to serve in our neighborhoods in different ways. For your community. When Connie and I were in New Jersey, like I said, we were in an Italian community and they shared a great deal of things with us. What do you have that you can share with the people around you? What do you have that you can share with the people around you? You have the most precious thing in the world. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Jesus. And there are lots of people out there who need to know him. They don't know it now, many of them, but they would be glad to know him. And so we need to get some tracks, get out there and knock on some doors. Some neighbors, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm your neighbor. Just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Here's a track that'll show you the times for our services, because we've got it printed on the back of each track. Times of the service, and I'd like to invite you to come out. We've got having a candlelight service next week. Or come out to our Christmas morning, our Christmas Eve morning service on Sunday morning. And maybe, just maybe, they'll read that track. And they'll learn who Jesus Christ is. Today, most people in the neighborhood don't even know the names of their neighbors, like I said. Is there any way that you could be a blessing to the people living around you? If you don't bake cookies for Christmas, go out and buy some. Okay, I don't bake cookies, so I'll buy some. It might create a chance for you to invite them to church. And it just might obligate them enough that they might feel like they need to come to church. I guess in the last year, I've probably invited maybe 30, between 30 and 40 people to church, or maybe more. None of them have come. But if I could obligate them a little bit, make them feel guilty, might be sneaky, but it's a good way to work. Look it out there this year and do some things. People appreciate kindness. They don't expect it, but they appreciate it when you're kind to a person. Perhaps you may know of a widow that you could help. If there's anything she needed, maybe you have an older folk, a person living near you. You could go see if there's anything that you could do for them, just for Christmas. And then don't let Christmas end. Keep doing it. Keep visiting. Now, if it's a single lady, you men, be sure and take your wives with you, okay? We don't want any trouble developing at Christmas time. You could give a surprise Christmas gift to someone. You could do something really special. Maybe you've got a young couple living near you with children. You could invite them to leave the children with you while they go out for an evening together. And you just look after the children. Don't charge. Just look after the children and take care of them for a night. And tell them why you're doing it. You're doing it because you love the Lord Jesus. You know they need some time together and you'd like to help them out. People, what you're going to be doing is making a commitment with the Lord to become his ambassador. It will take some of your time and perhaps even some of your financial things, but that's what God wants from us. That's what he wants us to do. The Apostle Paul gave us a challenge in the letter to the Philippians, and he also explained how we could do it. Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Find someone this winter that you can make God look good for, and then make God look good. Father, we know you are giving us opportunity. We know that your will is that none perish, but everyone come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, this year, help us to be effective in our outreach to the people around us. May we have the joy of sharing Jesus Christ with a neighbor or even a stranger. Father, may your will be done in each of our lives. And we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.